overtime.
And I just want to say, when my time comes, I want to be buried face down so that anyone who doesn't like me can kiss my ass.
Back here on Overtime, Rick Butler, Cole McCormick hanging out with you for the next hour. Currently 7 o'clock p.m. on this Tuesday night. Tanner Carson, currently busy right now. He's got other obligations. Daniel Brackman, I believe he's doing class stuff right
he's
now.
He's a
right?
working man.
Oh, he's a working man.
He's a working man.
Good for him. Good for him. We got the next hour of the show coming to you so far. If you missed what we were saying at the beginning of the show, basically, Cole and I did not get a lot of, we did not get a lot of acknowledgement that mm-hmm. Tanner was not going to be here on the show today. Mm-hmm. So neither one of us did a lot of show prep. We came into the show having next to none, to be honest. We didn't really even know we were going to do that first segment. Mm-hmm. However, I felt like it turned out pretty good. I felt like, all things considered, having no idea what we were going to talk about in the show.
Yeah.
We said we were going to wing it. We pretty much just did. Mm-hmm. I feel like that turned out pretty well.
I think hour one is pretty good. Pretty good, especially for the amount of preparation we had going into it.
Yes.
I think we did pretty good. I really do.
Yeah. Good for us.
Good for us.
Good for us. All right. Well, now it's the top of hour two, so... That means one thing. That means recruiting news. You got that over there, Cole?
Hey, I got it.
Bring it.
I got it. Let's see. We'll start with Brandon Williams out of Louisiana. He tweeted out, let's see, yesterday. He will be in Knoxville this weekend. Interestingly enough, I saw this interesting little tidbit while my page loads. The high school he's at down in New Orleans. I don't know if I can pronounce this. Good grief. Isidore Newman? I don't know. Something Newman down there in New Orleans. You know who else is a graduate of that high school down in New Orleans?
No.
One Mr. Peyton Manning.
Oh.
This is Peyton's high school. We're going after one of his boys.
The Newman, right?
Yeah.
Something Newman.
I don't know how to say the first part of it. Isidore. Isidore?
Isidore? Isord?
Isidore.
Isiodre?
I don't know. Newman. I'm just calling it Newman. But okay. Yes, a proud institution. All of the Manning men, except for Archie, came through it. Very proud high school down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. And Tennessee will host one of their more talented prospects this weekend. Brandon Williams, as I said, outside linebacker prospect in the 2020 class. Pretty big guy, 6'3", 220 pounds. A lot of weight already as a junior. Four-star prospect, according to 247 Sports. Number 11 overall outside linebacker in the 2020 class and seventh best player in the state of Louisiana. No crystal ball predictions yet. It's a good sign. Other than Tennessee, he holds offers from Florida, LSU, Arkansas, and Boston College, to just name a few. So keep your eye on him. If anybody can follow in the footsteps of Peyton Manning, let's let it be this young man.
Sure.
Even though he's not a quarterback.
Well, elite football player.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
Fine by me.
Great high school down there in New Orleans. Moving along, Jamie Robinson. We've talked about him a lot the last few days. He was up here over the weekend taking a visit, and Tennessee has made his top four. Mr. Robinson opened his notes app, like we mentioned earlier. He says, first off, I want to say thanks to every university that has given me a scholarship and to every single coach that has been recruiting me. I know that I am blessed enough to even receive one scholarship. The time is coming. Let's see. The time is coming to an end where I am only able to go to one all capitalized school.
Really?
I don't think he knows. Yeah. Well, at least he knows you can't go to two.
So that's how college football works.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Well, you learn something new every day, Cole.
Yeah. He goes on to say, that day will be February 6th, 100. With that being said, here is my top four choices. And then in parentheses, no specific order, except for alphabetical. First up, Auburn. Next, Kentucky. Third, South Carolina. And, of course, fourth, your Tennessee Volunteers.
All right.
He will be picking where he will spend his next 3 to 4 years. On February 6th, Mr. Robinson, as we have talked about extensively the last few days, cornerback out of Leesburg, Georgia at Lee County High School, 5'11", 200 pounds in the 2019 class, only a three-star guy, so not highly sought after,
it's
but good
intangibles.
Enough. Sure, yeah. It's the raw talent.
There you go.
It's the raw talent.
Moldability.
Yeah. 30th best safety in the 2019 class, 42nd best player in the state of Georgia. So be on the lookout for that come signing day. Up next is a Vol legacy, actually. Ryan Callahan, friend of the station over there at 247 Sports, he tweeted out, Tennessee will be, quote, tough to turn down for Vol legacy and in-state target Dalen Hayden.
Wow.
He is,
what a name.
It is a pretty sweet name. Looking through the article, it's a VIP article, and I'm not a 247 VIP, so I don't know how he is a legacy, but I will try to figure that out. But according to Ryan, he is, and I trust Ryan, very knowledgeable man. But Dalen, he is in the 2022 class, so a little too far out to say where he will go, but you never know. He is out of Memphis over at Christian Brothers High School. He is listed as an athlete on 247sports.com, 5'10 and a half, 175 pounds. He holds offers other than Tennessee from Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. And even though he is in the class of 2022, he is 100% his crystal ball predictions sit at 100% to Tennessee. So you got to feel good to land the in-state legacy. Coming in a few years. And then the last one for tonight I will mention, we have talked about his family and his brother extensively in the past, and now it is his time to create his own path. That is Cooper Mays, brother of Cade Mays.
Oh, interesting.
Brother of Cade Mays. A to Z Sports Nashville tweets out, Tennessee Vols are in a good position to land in-state UT legacy. We talked about his brother, Cade, extensively during his recruitment and how he stabbed us in the back. Hopefully, little Coop will not. Cooper Mays, as you may know, over there at Knox Catholic High School, Bears stomping grounds, his favorite offensive center. Interesting. A center. 6'3", 265 pounds. Pretty big guy. Pretty big guy. 2020 class, like I said, three-star prospect. Number four center in the 2020 class.
Wow.
And 17th best overall prospect in the state of Tennessee in that same class, with a year to go until he signs on the dotted line. You can expect him to more than likely rise in the rankings, much like his brother did. Don't know if he'll be as talented and highly sought after as Cade was, but you never know. Along with Tennessee, he holds offers from Georgia, of course, Auburn, Duke, and Florida, but his crystal balls right now sit 100% to the Vols. So maybe he will make us proud, make his daddy proud, and get all the haters off of his family's back.
Did you just reference his crystal balls?
I did.
Oof.
It is odd because he only has two crystal ball predictions, so that makes it even worse. Anyway, that is, Cooper Mays. He could hopefully and potentially be a Vol. Hopefully he will not be the crook his older brother was.
How weirdly identical is this situation to the Manning family?
It is weird.
I mean, you have the father who played at the school. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks the first son is going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
First son, better than the second son. First son.
Technically, the first son did go to Ole Miss. Cooper.
Oh, well. Quarterbacks.
Quarterback, sure.
So the first son quarterback snubs the hometown team, makes his own path. Now, Cooper Mays, could be staying in the hometown team.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful.
Still very good.
It'd be beautiful.
Not as highly touted as the first, though.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. It's quite the story. I think they're trying to have their own version of the Book of Manning. The Book of Mays.
The Book of Mays.
Yeah.
Coming to a TV next.
That's
coming
right.
Coming to a TV near you.
In 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. 2039.
But yeah, other than that, that's it. That's all I got for tonight.
Well done, Cole.
Thank you, Rick.
Well done. It's just me clapping, but.
Hey, I'll take it.
Means a lot.
I'll take it.
Cole, well done. As always, the recruiting update is brought to you by KSI, Knoxville Stone Interiors. KSI is your go-to countertop renovation source. Knoxville Stone Interiors has been serving East Tennessee for over a decade with three generations of experience in the natural stone countertop industry on their friendly staff. Granite, quartz, marble, and more. Whatever the surface, they have the solution. KSI will help with any size project, big or small, and most installations take less than a day. See their showroom at 3900 Middlebrook Pike, and one of their project managers will guide you through a step-by-step, thorough process. If you want to, if you're interested in what KSI has to offer, go ahead and give this number a call, 865-971-5800, for a free in-home estimate. And if you forget that number and you don't write it down right now, I don't know why you wouldn't write it down right now, but if you do, you can always check them out online at knoxstoneinteriors.com. Knoxville Stone Interiors, 9,000 kitchen makeovers and counting. Now, here's what we're going to do in the next segment. Tanner brought us up a good idea, and it kind of goes back to what the Saints were doing earlier, right? This is a good hypothetical question, especially if you've been a Tennessee fan for a very long time. You've probably seen some heartbreaking losses. I know I have only been a Tennessee fan recently, within the last 10 years, but I've seen my own fair share. Now, the Saints fans are petitioning that they want to go back and they want to replay the outcome of their NFC championship game. So our question that we're going to get into next, that we would love to hear your opinions on, is if you could go back and replay the ending to one Tennessee game, regardless of sport, which one would it be? Again, if you could go back and if you could change the outcome, or at least see those two teams come back together and redo the outcome of the game, what would it be? Any sport, whatever heartbreaking loss just gut-wrenches you the most. So that's what we're going to be talking about on the other side of the hour. If you want to call in, let your opinion be heard, oh, feel free. Cole will be watching the phones. We will get that call in, and we would love to talk to you with you about that. 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in. Overtime on the other side of the break. Back here on Overtime, 7:17 p.m., Rick Butler, Cole McCormick. Now, we teased this in the last segment. My headphones are not working. We teased this in the last segment. We've now come to realize that this question, to an extent, has been discussed on the station today. But that is not going to slow us down, because we would like to get our own opinions out there. So earlier in the station, I know Trey Wallace and maybe some of the other boys, they were talking about what is the most gut-wrenching loss that they've experienced. Were they talking about just in Tennessee or just overall in sports?
I think just overall in sports, I think.
You're a Cardinals fan, right?
I am.
My most heartbreaking, demoralizing, gut-wrenching loss I will ever face in my entire life is the 2011 World Series. When David Freese hit that stupid fly ball to right field, and Nelson Cruz could not make a play on it,
mm-hmm.
we were one strike away from winning our first ever World Series.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I want you to know that I resent you guys for that.
That's interesting.
8 years later,
it's interesting you bring that up, because that's one of my more fond memories when it comes to baseball. To win a championship on that kind of play, it's something I'll never forget. I remember watching it and not believing it.
I'm pretty sure that was the first time I ever used a certain cuss word to an extent. I remember being morbidly angry. Yeah. And I still am, okay? I am still bitter about it. It gets my blood boiling. Nelson Cruz, you suck. You suck. You could have made a play on that ball. You really could have. But you didn't. And we don't have our first championship because of you.
Yeah, sorry.
I had totally never made the connection that you were a Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
And that play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after winning 11 World Series, they all just kind of
All right. Moving on. Moving back to Tennessee. All right. So we do want to get our own takes on this question. Ours is if you could go back and change one of the outcomes, but I'm pretty sure that's basically the same question. I don't know if this game has been brought up on the show yet today, but I will never forget this game for the rest of my life. This was during my freshman year here at Tennessee. To this day, I believe that it's the loudest I've ever seen that stadium. It was when the number 19 Oklahoma Sooners marched into Neyland Stadium to take on the number 23 Tennessee Volunteers.
Mm, yeah.
17-17 going into overtime.
Yeah.
Oklahoma scores. Falls it. No. I think Tennessee scored first, I believe. Where's overtime? Yes. Overtime. Jalen Hurd, 8-yard run. Puts the Vols up 24-17. A little bit later, Baker Mayfield, 1-yard run. Ties the game at 24. Tennessee does nothing. And then it was from the 18-yard line. I will never forget it. I was in the student section, so I was looking on the other side of the field, but I was looking directly down the sideline where he caught the ball. Baker Mayfield just floats one up to Sterling Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Catches the ball. And that was the third game of the season, too.
Yeah.
Or maybe, no, it was the second game.
Was it?
No, it was the third game.
Okay, I was about to say, I thought it was a few in.
Yeah, because Tennessee was 1-1 at that point.
1-1? Who'd they lose to?
Wait. I don't know, I'd have to go back. It was either the second or the third game of the season. Regardless, early matchup, Baker Mayfield at the helm. This would have been a monumentous win for Tennessee. I mean, this game had everything, too.
Mm.
It had the suspense. It had two good teams who played well. It had the thrill of overtime. It had the thrill of both teams scoring a touchdown on their first drive, so it went into second overtime. But I will never forget. Just the life was sucked out of these stadiums. You ever seen the movie Spaceballs?
I don't think so.
It was like a parody movie on Star Wars. Basically, for anybody who has seen that movie, it's like when the big robot ship lady had the gigantic vacuum that was as big as the planet, and she just sucked all the air out of it.
Mm.
That is what that was like. That was unimaginably depressing loss.
Mm-hmm.
That sucked. So for me, that would be my game. If I could turn around and take any game back, or at least replay it, I would want to replay the dadgum second overtime when Oklahoma came to Tennessee in 2015.
Yeah, looking back at the schedule, you were right. It was the second game that season because the first game that season was Bowling Green in Nashville.
I remember that game.
And then the home opener was Oklahoma.
And wasn't that game way closer than it should have been? Or am I imagining
Bowling
that?
Green?
Yeah.
59-30.
Okay. Well, anyway, you shouldn't have let Bowling Green put up 30.
Yeah.
Although they did have a good
quarterback.
They had
that receiver. I forgot who ultimately transferred to Alabama. I forgot what his name was.
Yes.
But they had that guy who was lighting us up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that game.
Okay, for me, I came up with two. Because as I was thinking about this, I couldn't decide which one to pick. And it's two different sports. So I'm going to mention them both.
Bring it.
But the one, if I had to pick one, this is the one it would be. 2009, Tennessee versus Alabama, when Mount Cody busts through the line and blocks the field goal.
Oh, no.
To seal the Alabama win down in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, that was Kiffin.
Oh,
that was the game, in my opinion, our greatest uniform combo.
Yeah.
The white jerseys and the orange pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring that back more.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of tough losses, sure, when it comes to Alabama, but this one sticks out in my mind. You thought You thought for sure you were going, not, well, I'll take that back, not going to win, but had a very good shot at winning that game. You see Daniel Lincoln do his little kicker steps.
Yeah.
Get back there. They snap the ball. And that big mountain of a man, Terrence Cody, just busts through the middle of the line and just puts his big old meaty fat paw up there and knocks her down.
Good descriptions. That is bad.
The worst part about it, too, it was in Tuscaloosa. It's not like it was up here. Could you imagine if Tennessee, and at the time they were number two, 8-0, number two in their house.
Is that the year that they met LSU in the championship?
2009? It might be. I'm not sure. It might be. That sounds about right. But, yeah, the only Kiffin year we had, I don't think that would have kept him here. I don't think that would have been enough. But you never know what could happen. Winning a big game like that, Kiffin might not want to give it up. He could see something, some wheels start to turn. Maybe I can get this place back where it needs to be. No, I'm not going to go to USC. Maybe he stays. If he stays and we're good, we're not in the turmoil we are right now. So there's a lot of questions, and I go back to that game, the 12-10 game down in Tuscaloosa. I will never forget it. We'll never forget it. As a freshman in high school, I will never forget it.
Now, that would have been the 2010 national championship, right?
I think. Because it would have been January 2010, yes.
Let's see. That was Alabama versus Texas. That loss could have potentially taken them out of the national championship.
Exactly. 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 So that's one I think to right off the bat. But another one that came across my mind only because I was in attendance for this game.
Oh, wow.
Go back. Let's see. What year was this? I believe it's 2015. No, excuse me. March 2014. Number 11 Tennessee versus number 2 Michigan in the Sweet 16 in Indianapolis.
Oh!
I was there.
Oh, my!
I was there.
Oh, you're bringing back hard memories.
I was there with some friends. We thought we were going to beat down the Wolverines and move on to the Elite Eight.
I feel like that was Jarnell Stokes, right?
Yeah.
And we got hosed on an inbounds call, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, right at the end.
Botched
call on Jarnell Stokes, and they go on, hit a couple free throws, and win the game. Just pull the rug right out from under us. I will never forget it. I will never forget it. So I had to mention that one as well.
All right.
Which in hindsight, we had Kwanzo. So if he wins that game, who knows what could happen. I don't think we would still have him to this day, this year. But you never know. But when I think about heartbreaks, I think about that one.
Okay, I have another one.
Okay.
Saturday, October 2nd, 2010. Tennessee travels to go face Les Miles Tigers in Death Valley.
Oh, yeah.
LSU quarterback Jordan Jefferson snaps the ball with 6 seconds left. Does not score a touchdown. Tennessee has just taken down LSU. Everyone's going crazy. The players are rushing onto the field. This is a miracle.
Yeah.
What a win for the Volunteers at LSU.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. 13 men. Not even 12.
There we had two extra.
13! Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, 12 is like, that should obviously never happen. But you know what? One guy he messed up. That sucks. But 13?
Yeah.
Two extra?
Yeah.
Nobody looks around and thought to themselves, yo, I don't think we're on the field at the same time, man. You're right. I should probably get off. You should too.
Aren't you two my backup?
Yeah.
That didn't happen?
What is that? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Oh, I forgot. That was tough. That was tough.
That was tough.
Just rattle a couple off the top of my head. Let's see. Go back 20. Let's see. What was it? Tennessee, Florida, 2017. Hail Mary. Abernathy, get your butt in the end zone and knock that stupid ball down.
Yeah.
I think of that one. I think of, go back to the same season, the LSU game. Go back to the bowl game, 2010 Music City Bowl.
North Carolina.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Bogus call, bogus penalty on us. They kick a field goal to win.
Ah, those are Dooley's first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we should have
known. We should have known.
Oh, Derek, not in the same season, man. Not in your first season.
Tennessee Vanderbilt, 2016. Win at Vandy, you go to the Sugar Bowl. Couldn't do it.
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
You had a berth in the Sugar Bowl. Couldn't win at Vanderbilt.
Well, that hurts. Yeah. Complete disaster.
Yeah. I mean, we could go on and on.
Yeah, because we really could.
Because the last 10 years, especially in the football program, there have been so many gut-wrenching losses. It's incredible.
And you and I are only in our mid-20s, too.
Yeah, I know.
Like, think of the diehard folks who are probably listening to this who have been here for decades and decades.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, a lot of the things that we've been mentioning have been, you know, in this decade of dysfunction, as Mark Nagy likes to say.
Which, I mean, outside of that, it hasn't been that bad.
I mean,
because you look at all these folks that say, oh, Tennessee's not like they used to be. Well, I mean, yeah, Tennessee used to be good up until, you know, Fulmer started to lose his mind, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. Yep.
But we just happened to, you know, grow up in it.
Well,
but that was a good segment.
They say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's a good point.
I don't really know if I feel stronger, though, but I felt killed at the time.
I feel very weak.
Yes.
Yeah, and defeated.
Final 30 minutes of overtime coming up. We got birthdays right around the corner. Don't miss it. Supreme matchup, the one that everyone's been waiting for, Cole versus Cole. On the other side of the break, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Time to play the game.
And we got birthdays coming up right now on Overtime here on Fan Run Radio. As we mentioned earlier, this is a tag team edition of Overtime Tonight. You got me and Cole. So, Cole,
How
do you feel about your competition today?
I mean, I feel pretty good. I've gone against him before.
Yeah.
I know his tactics.
Yeah.
I know his angles.
Okay.
So hopefully I get the best of him this time, but we'll see.
All right, you heard it here. I mean, if that's not smack talk, I don't know what is.
Bring it.
Bring it. Just bring it, as The Rock likes to say.
Mm.
Second wrestling reference I've tried to throw in here. All right. I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we have 5 today.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, first one, turning 28 years old. He is an American rapper. He has gone by the name of Young Sinatra before. He's from Maryland in the United States. Some of his songs include, I'm trying not to look for the top ones, Ballin', Sucker for Pain. He kind of popped off recently within the last 2 years or so for suicide prevention awareness. He wrote a song all about it titled 1-800-273-8255. He's a white guy. Goes by one name.
Oh, is it Logic?
That's right.
Logic.
That's right. I didn't really do much to help you there.
That's okay.
You nailed it though.
Luckily for me, DB usually takes all the rappers.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Totally.
He's very knowledgeable in that sense.
Well then I have good news for you, Cole.
Okay.
We have another rapper.
I don't know.
Next.
I don't know.
20 years old. Okay, although this one is a little bit of different.
Okay.
He is a one-hit wonder recently, so in the past year or two. This is one of those songs that has a dance involved to it. He goes by one name. At the beginning of the song, he says his name a bunch. It's kind of got the rhythm of like, na na na, na na na, na na na.
Oh, is it the guy who did Watch Me Whip?
Yes.
What is his name? Is it like Silent? Or
You're very close. Silence? Throw on another letter.
Silo?
No, you had Silent.
Silent?
Think of what letter you could throw onto the end.
Silento.
Yes.
Yeah.
Silento. Man, that guy's 20 years old. He is probably stupid, filthy, rich from that one song.
I'd say so.
Watch Me Whip a Nene.
It's a good one.
All right, this might be my favorite birthday of the day. Okay. 50 years old. He is a chef, and he is a like a TV host, but in reality, he is so much more than that.
Guy Fieri.
That, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Guy Fieri.
What is the first thing you think of when you think Guy Fieri?
Spiky white hair.
That, you nailed it. How could you not?
Diners,
drive-ins, and dives. I mean, golly, an American legend.
His car with the flames, or no, his car had flames, or was his sunglasses definitely did it. His car had flames on it?
I think so.
I know he had a nice car, too. And his flame sunglasses.
Yes. Yep.
And his love for food. You know, for the longest time growing up.
He likes the spicy stuff.
He does. That was one of my dad's more favorite shows, especially when it came to food. And growing up watching that, I wanted to be a chef there for a minute because of Guy Fieri. I really did. I wanted to be a TV chef, I guess you could say.
Okay, yeah.
He travels around the country. He goes to all these great restaurants. He eats for free.
Yeah.
I mean, in your cool car. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Who did you like better? Guy Fieri or one? Bobby Flay.
Oh, Guy Fieri. Bobby Flay's a nerd.
Whoa.
He is a geek.
Whoa.
He is a nerd.
Like, circa 2008, Rick is very, takes very much offense to that. I feel like I loved Bobby Flay. He was a cool dude.
Him and his lisp? He could get out of here.
I didn't notice he had a lisp at the time.
It's very faint.
Okay. I would, if they had a fight or a cook-off, I think I would take Bobby Flay. You can have Guy Fieri.
If they had a fight, I'm taking Guy. If they had a cook-off, I don't know. That's a tough one. Bobby Flay, he knows his way around a kitchen.
Stand by your pick. You should take Guy.
I'll take Guy. Okay, sure. I'll take him. Yeah, that's my boy.
Maybe one day we'll settle that if we ever get in contact with him. All right, number four, Guy. He is a very nice 69 years old today. He is an American singer. He was a singer of a very popular, I would say probably one of the most popular rock bands in history. And then he left the group to pursue an individual career. His my favorite song, at least by him, when he went in an individual career, was Oh Sherry. That kind of actually rhymes with his name.
Sherry.
I'm in love. I don't want to say the band that he was a part of.
What were some of their songs? Is it like a well-known band?
Very well-known.
Oh.
As in like Wheel in the Sky well-known. Don't Stop Believing well-known.
Let's see, that's Journey.
Yes.
Who's the lead singer? You said lead singer?
Yes, and then he left.
Last name Perry.
Yes.
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry.
Yes.
I love Steve Perry.
He is good.
I loved the song Oh Sherry. It might be the first thing I play when I'm on my ride home from the show.
I don't know if I've heard it.
You need to go listen to it. It's got this really nice like piano intro.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just pops off.
Okay.
All right, last one. 31 years old today. He is a former NFL running back. Former, not because of, you know, old age and retirement. Former because he was caught on camera not doing anything good. I believe, if my memory is correct, this camera video... It was from an elevator, I think. I'm pretty positive that was right. Before this happened, he was an incredible running back.
Ray Rice.
Yes. Ray Rice. Raymond Which of Rice. The five birthdays today was your favorite? You have Logic, Silent Toe, Guy Fieri, Steve Perry, Ray Rice.
Well, I'll go ahead and knock Logic and Silent Toe off.
Well, that was my first. Ray Rice you can knock off too, I feel like. Not a good guy. Unless you want to just talk about the football player.
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay. God, he was a good stinking running back.
He was. And then the other three, I'm going to have to knock off Perry next. I mean, Journey's my dad's band. I know he loves him, but I'm not that big of a fan. I mean, I am, but just didn't grow up with him. If I had to pick between Ray and Guy, I'll take in the beating of his girlfriend. So I'll go Guy.
Okay, there you go.
I'll go Guy.
All right, bonus round. I found one more.
Okay.
What is the musical? I'm going to take you through this step by step. What has been the hottest Broadway musical of like the last couple of years? Everyone wants to see it.
Hamilton?
Yes. Who is the main character?
Hamilton?
Yes. He had a son. You know the son's name. He died in a duel against... what was his name?
I have no idea.
Can't remember, but he died in a duel.
Hamilton's son died in a duel.
Yes.
And today's his birthday.
Yes.
George.
It rhymes with Millip.
Philip. Philip Hamilton. Okay.
He, let's see, he was 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
Decided he had beef with somebody else. Decided he wanted to duel about it.
And lost.
And lost at the young age of 19.
Wow.
Poor guy.
R.I.P.
Yikes.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess that's one thing to take away from today. Don't duel if you're mad. Probably lose.
Yeah, especially at the age of 19.
Yeah.
At least wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, exactly.
But I still don't recommend it.
Still a teenager. You think you're big and bad, but buddy, you're not.
No.
Yeah. It's a good lesson. It's a good lesson.
Do you watch the show Impractical Jokers?
Oh, all the time.
Okay, I just found another one. He's one of the four guys. Bald.
Murr.
Yeah. How old do you think he is?
Oh, God. He's got to be at least... I'd say... 41?
43.
Okay.
Pretty close.
Okay.
Pretty close. Well, Cole, triumphant victory. Way to go. Sweep. And you got the bonus rounds.
I like
which were worth 9,000 points each.
Okay. Okay.
So you did really good.
Okay.
Like 27,005 points.
I'll take it.
Maybe a new record.
I'll take it.
I'm throwing out points like Drew Carey and Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I'll take it home.
They're all meaningless.
Whatever happened to that show?
Oh, man, I don't know, but it's still going.
Is it really? Like, same cast?
Okay, get this. On February 9th, they're doing a live show in Knoxville.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Rick?
Wait. You're thinking, I know what's in your head right now, I can see it. You're thinking to yourself, wow, I can't wait to go see Ryan Stiles and Colin, whatever Colin's last name is.
Cowherd.
Well, a different show.
Yeah.
Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
Right? All these great guys.
And then the fourth, who they just randomly picked.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Cole, ain't none of them will be there. So.
Well, Drew, will he be there?
Drew's been off the show for a long time, man.
I haven't seen it in a while. Who's on it now?
It's a girl named Aisha Taylor. And I only know this because my parents record the TV show, and I went home and just watched a ton of them on the DVR over winter break.
Okay.
Still funny show.
Okay.
Still very funny.
Man, back when they had the OG crew running it, it was the funniest stuff. And it only came on like really late at night sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'd stay up to like midnight or 1 and just watch Whose Line for hours.
Yes.
Oh, it's so fun.
It's literally what I did over winter break.
So fun.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, it's 7:46 p.m. We should probably take a break. Mm. That was birthdays. Coming up next, I don't know how we're going to end the show, but it's going to be good. You do not want to miss it. Fan Run Radio, Overtime. Ooh. Back here on Overtime, closing out the show today. Real quick, before we head over to the phone lines to get a call from Roger, MLB Hall of Fame ballots. I guess this would be what? The finalists? No, not finalists. The inductees.
The inductees, yeah.
The inductees revealed today.
Yep.
Cole, give me some names.
Yeah, first up, of course, Sandman himself. First year on the ballot. Mariano Rivera, the reliever.
Incredible.
Incredible pitcher for the Yankees. First year on the ballot, and I was telling Rick during the break, Rivera is the only player to have 100% of votes to be inducted into the MLB. And to make it even more impressive, this is his first year of eligibility. We all knew he would be a first-year ballot Hall of Famer, but I don't think anybody would have guessed he would have received all of the votes to make it into Cooperstown. So congratulations to him and his career. Only four guys made it other than Rivera. There was Edgar Martinez. You're an Edgar Martinez fan, Rick?
Sure.
I mean, he played with the Mariners, seven-time All-Star, five-time Silver Slugger.
Well, I'm going to change my answer to no, the Mariners are a rival of my own team.
Okay. That makes sense. Makes sense. Who else was on here? Roy Halladay.
The late RIP. Roy Halladay, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Died in 2007.
Two-time.
No, 17.
Yeah, 17. Two-time Cy Young winner, eight-time All-Star, of course, with the Blue Jays. And also his stint in Philadelphia.
Hell
RIP.
Of a pitcher.
Yeah.
Hell of a pitcher.
Yeah.
I love him.
And then the fourth one to get in, Mike Mussina. He was also a pitcher, mostly known for playing with the Orioles. Daniel Brackman's Orioles, I will say, since he's not here. And then also a stint with the Yankees as well. Five-time All-Star, seven-time Gold Glove winner. Those four guys make it into Cooperstown. Looking at the list, a few notable names. On it, Curt Schilling just missing the cutoff. He comes in at number five. He received 60.9% of the votes. So you would think he will be in
next year.
And then also the two behind him. These two have had a lot of controversy behind their names because of using PEDs and whatnot. At number six comes in Roger Clemens.
Oh,
I don't know if he's ever getting in, man.
I don't know either.
It's looking good for him. It's looking good. And then right behind him, the bald babe himself, Barry Bonds.
The San Fran man.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, he could swing the bat.
Yep.
I mean, he was juiced, granted.
Yep.
But God, he could boom the ball.
He could. He could. A couple other notables. Let's see. Fred McGriff also on the list. Scott Rowland, my boy, third baseman for the Cardinals, also made the list. Hometown hero, Tennessee Volunteer, coming in at number 15, Todd Helton of the Colorado Rockies.
Todd, good for you.
This was also his first year on the ballot. He only got 16.5% of votes, but it looks good. Looks good for the future. Another notable one, Sammy Sosa, he's number 18 on the list. Andrew Jones at number 19.
Whoa, I got to stop you right there. You're completely missing over the biggest snub, Michael Young.
No, Michael Young. I see that right there.
1.3% of votes. What are we doing?
Yeah, come on,
baseball writers of America.
I don't know.
Get him in. He probably won't go in.
Never know.
Never won a championship.
Oh yeah.
Big deal. All right, hey, let's head over to the phone line real quick. Take a call from Roger before we head out of here. Roger, Tanner's not here. Hey. This is Rick and Cole. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing fantastic. It's been a fun show.
Yeah. I just want to ask you. I don't think it's number one. It's great that number one now. I just wanted to ask you, how long do you think Tennessee can play? Can stay focused, and you think Tennessee can stay focused after being a one now. You think now?
Yeah, Raj. I think that's a fun question to look at. You know, we obviously have some hard games coming up. I think the games versus Kentucky are certainly going to be a challenge. I believe that we have to go to Auburn, which is going to be a challenge as well. The Ole Miss game could even be tough. So those are all games that you likely could lose. I don't know if anyone's going to jump you in the meantime. So I think right now to lose that number one spot, you're likely going to have to lose. My only fear is that you know, hopefully it's just not one of those slip-ups to a mid-ranked team when, in which you should never lose to. If we're going to lose, you know, I think it's more likely that it's to one of those better SEC teams, likely on the road. But I don't know. I would say probably when those are coming up. But Roger, I'm getting the hand sign from Cole that we are needing to head out of the show. So for Cole McCormick, I'm Rick Buller. Thanks for hanging out with us today on Overtime. We appreciate everyone listening. Tanner Carson, Daniel Brackman will be back tomorrow to give their opinions on the sports world.
Live at Hops.
Live at Hops and Hollers.
Live at Hops and Hollers tomorrow.
Hey, go see them. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. I know the Drive guys and some of the other guys from the station are going to be there. So, as always, from Rick and Cole, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow.